Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann, a listener-supported program. My guest for this episode is Catherine Herring of Herring's Greengrass Farm. She, along with her husband Wayne, pasture-raise pork, poultry, and goats, while also building their homestead and homeschooling their four children. That's what this conversation is about. Catherine's role as mother, farmer, wife, teacher, and what this process for her is like. What was the transition from being an engineer to a stay-at-home mom, and then to homeschooling, and then the partner of a farmer, and then as they moved to where they are now, where she was in a place to take care of the animals, to be a farmer herself. This conversation is honest and open about the amount of work that can be involved, how hard it can be at times, and you'll hear some of that. As when we were recording this, we were a little pressed for time and making the space and having the opportunity to do it. But as Catherine herself says, even with everything, she wouldn't change it. And in her story, may you find a connection that, if you're making this kind of consideration yourself, provides you the strength to take that next step and move towards your calling. Now then, on to the conversation with Catherine. I'll join you afterwards for a few moments.
Could you give us a little bit of your background and biography? And then we can move into what this life is like being on a small-scale farm and homeschooling your children.
So originally, I grew up in Maine. So I come from Maine. And I lived there until I was 20s, and then I went to grad school at Virginia Tech and for master's in geotechnical engineering. Met Wayne there at Virginia Tech, traveled to Colorado, and worked as an engineer for probably 5 years total. We moved back here in 02, yes, February of 02, and I worked for a year in Pennsylvania as an engineer. And then I got pregnant and stayed at home ever since, and that's 10 and a half years ago I've been home.
And from the conversation that we had before I began recording today, engineering is not a world that you would return to at this point.
No, probably never. But you never know. I have no plans.
Do you feel like you've made the transition to farming with your family? Or is that still a path that you're walking down as you work things out over these past 4 years? Because from talking with Wayne, my understanding is that you were doing a lot of the farm work while he was on the road with his previous job. So you've been active and involved with this for quite some time.
Well, not really, actually. For the first 2 years, we didn't live with the animals. So he and his cousin, both of them shared the responsibility of taking care of all animals. And I hardly ever saw any animals. Only to take the kids over once on the weekends. Probably once a week I would go visit the animals. But I had very little contact or responsibility because I had the kids. So I didn't do anything but raise the kids in homeschool. And then we moved here. And then once the animals were here, then it became all of me.
So in those beginning days of starting this farm, a lot of your role was providing the space to allow him to farm and to focus on these things.
Right. It was just a sacrifice is what it was. It was like we didn't get to see him, but I knew that all we had to do was just one more year. We had the plans of we had bought this land, so I knew that all we needed was one more year before we could live with our animals, and that was our goal. So it was one of those things that, you know, I knew there was a goal, and that was our goal, and so that's what got us through it, because it was horrible to not live with your animals and take care of them. And because he would be gone from work, he would get home, and then he had to farm, and so that's it. It was working from. We never, ever saw him. And so that's why I would go over to the farm so we could at least be with him while he was farming. And then, yeah, it was not fun at all. But I mean, we just knew that was our goal. And so our goal was we wanted to have a farm. We wanted to live with the farm. And all we needed was keep working, keep the animals, keep it going for a year until we could finish our house and move everything here.
Did having a timeline of when you would be moving here make that a bit easier?
Oh, yeah. Without the goal or without seeing that future, that gave us like the drive. I mean, without having a plan, an action plan, it would have been, this is too hard. to keep it up without having, you need to have a goal. You need to have a plan. This is what you want to do. Because you need something to strive for, or it's just immense work.
Part of these conversations is that there are a lot of people I know who are interested in starting their own farms, but have no idea what it looks like when it happens, or what the lifestyle is like. Especially when they have a partner, they have children, all the things that come with that. Because I know just for me, I'm not farming. I'm a horrible gardener, but I do kind of like it sometimes. But just starting my own business required a lot of work and sacrifice. And with this transition, the work that you're doing to make the farm happen, what have been some of the highlights of that, some of the easier things to work through and that you enjoy out of this process? But also, what are some of the trials and tribulations and the stress that comes with that, that people might not normally think about when they're looking at a farm and just thinking about, well, I'm going to raise animals and I'm going to sell them and I'm going to make money, like as a family, as a whole lifestyle pursuit?
Well, first of all, I never looked at it to make money. That was never a goal. Because, I mean, it'd be nice, but I think you can't start thinking you're going to make money, because it is so much hard work and very little reward with payment. But for me, I just love, like, I have control over the food that I'm eating. Like, this is my food. And so that's the biggest reward, is I know exactly what's being fed, how it's grown, taken care of, how it's processed. I know from beginning to end. So that for me is my biggest thing. And like the kids get to see it too. And then hopefully eventually as they get older, they can do more and more helping out and chores. I mean, I had this dream that they were just going to want to do it, but that didn't happen. Like they're still kids and at first it was exciting, but the excitement wears off and then your kids don't necessarily want to do it. So you have to keep at them, and that's not the fun part. But right now we're at the end and we just finished everything. So you're kind of tired of having animals and the responsibility. And then by the time spring comes, it's this excitement. It's like new grass, new growth. Everything's getting born. And so it's really exciting. Your first chickens, your first little pigs, the first goats, the first turkey. Everything is so exciting when you first get it. It's just, oh, it's so exciting. But it's a tremendous amount of startup. Just takes a long time and a lot of trial error, talking to other farmers that do the same thing. What did you do? I mean, without having other people to talk to, I don't know how you would do it. I mean, reading books, talking to other, pretty much just talking to people that do exactly what you do, and have them, keep them as your contacts so that you have any questions you have or need. You cannot do it alone. You have to have support and help from, his cousin. I mean, without him, we could never have done this, because he allows us to go on vacation for a week in the summer, or anytime we need to leave, you have to have someone there that's going to take care of animals. You cannot just leave at all. You have responsibility now of not only your kids, but whatever animals you have out there. I mean, it's total different. You lose all your freedom unless you've got to have someone that's willing to help you and take over and know what they're doing too when you leave, and not just, here you go.
That responsibility that you speak to is one of the reasons why my wife and I haven't added any kind of small livestock to our property, because only recently we found someone who was responsible enough that would show up every day.
Right.
That we could rely on, and that we could come to a mutual understanding of not only what needs to be done, but also feel comfortable paying them that they were going to do the work.
Yeah, it's... like we said, his cousin's been doing it with us from the very beginning, and he's gone to farmers like we do. I mean, he's been and keeps in education himself too. It's kind of a team effort. And then his girlfriend's a huge help too. So we actually have two people that help us immensely. And without them, we could not do it. And it's like when we were processing day, I can help a little, but I still have four kids to take care of, and I cannot help tremendously. But I mean, in the summers, and he's gone for a week, I have to get up for an hour, take care of the animals, come in, take care of my kids, feed them, then go check on the animals again, then come in, take care of my kids, and then go feed the animals again, and then take care of my kids. So it's like, it's what you do every day, all day. So it's just huge commitment.
From that, it winds up becoming truly a family farming operation, because it's the two of you. Your four children, as they get older and take on different pieces of that, you have your cousin and his girlfriend. That's eight people involved in this process in one way or another of your family farm.
Yeah. And we also have, I don't want to leave out, like, we have great friends that come and help the process. I mean, people, even customers will just show up and they help out. And that's really, really cool. I mean, we have friends, family that are willing to help out, and they help out too. Like, if we really need them, they would, you know, if Michael can't do it, then one of them will step in and do something. And like, if Michael and Wayne are both gone, then a friend can come in. Like, I've had times when I need to someone else to come, like the pigs are out and I cannot get them in.
Raising your own food is obviously a value to you. That's something that's very important, to have this understanding of what they're eating, and then in turn what you're eating, what you're feeding to your children. That control and understanding very granularly of what's happening, is that one of the reasons why you chose to homeschool, to be part of that education process, to be able to spend more time with them?
I stayed at home with my kids for that reason. I wanted to be the one that raised them in the beginning. I didn't want someone else to take care of my kids. That was my job, how I felt. Everyone's different, but that's how I strongly felt. Like, I gave birth to these kids. My job is to raise them. And then I thought I would send them off to school, and I did in the beginning. Kindergarten, first, second, at second grade, my first one, I sent off to school, and that was my plan. And it had nothing to do with control. Like, I believe that teachers can teach, and it was not a control thing at all for my kid. It's just a situation. It's just, I didn't like what was happening at school with her, what she was learning and not learning. And she needed to be taken out of school. And so I felt like I had no choice. And so I just took her out. And then I actually, like, wow, this really works. And I really like it. And I liked that she can learn what she wants to learn too. Like, if it's something she's not interested in, I don't have to make her learn that. And she actually does things on her own, like book reports. Like, I've never told her to do a book report. She likes to do that. So she'll go and do it on her own, even on her free time, not what I tell her to do. So that you'll find your kids will tend to do things just because they want to, not because they have to, rather than having to. And you have the freedom. You can use whatever curriculum. Pennsylvania is really a great state to be able to homeschool. I mean, they give you a lot of freedom, which could be good and it can be bad, but don't take advantage of it. But you can teach your kid what you want to teach them or not want to teach them to some degree. I mean, there is some rules.
So you have, if you will, like a core curriculum. And I know that there's something being labeled as a core curriculum now that's being talked about on the national level. I don't mean that in the same way, but I mean, within Pennsylvania, there are certain milestones that you need to reach educationally, but other than that, you have a lot of freedom as a parent to choose what you want to do?
Yeah, it's really a lot of freedom. They just tell you, you need to do, in the beginning, you need to show them your plan of action. Like, this is books I'm going to use, this is what I'm going to teach. So you can't just have no plan. You need to have a plan. You got to show them your plan, and then you, certain ages, you have to still take the standardized test. But it doesn't have to be a Pennsylvania one. It can be a California, or there's different ones you can take. And a friend can give them to them. It doesn't have to, you can't be you or a family. I don't know. Usually a friend does it, or whoever you choose. And at the end of the year, a teacher will evaluate your student for an hour, and then you pass in examples of, and the state tells you what examples of, like, science, math, reading. They tell you what subjects and what samples you need for what subject. And that's what you need to do. That's about it. I mean, they just tell you pretty much subjects, not like what you need to teach. So if I think you have to teach some Pennsylvania, some U.S. history, I'm not sure. It says history. I'm not sure if it's U.S. world. I do both, so I don't know.
So even though they have these baseline ideas of what you should do, you're already kind of exceeding them just because of your own interest in teaching this, your children's interest.
Definitely exceed. I mean, my kids definitely do more. They end up doing more than probably they need to. But in the greatest thing is, for me, is I learn too. Like, there's stuff maybe I don't, probably just don't remember. I'm sure I was taught it. I just don't remember. But you learn it and you don't remember. And I learned so much, like, wow, that's cool. I don't remember that. So it keeps me at least a little bit on top of what's going on.
What's it like getting to be a part of your children's education and spending all this time with them?
Well, I hope that it's good. I mean, it's hard to know because they're so young. The positive thing is you really get to know your child. That's the biggest thing, is you get to know how they learn, their personality, because every kid you teach is so different. And then I get to wonder, like, how are these teachers teaching all these kids the same thing, the same way? Because my kids are so different. What works with one kid is not necessarily working with the other one. So I get to change what books I use, what kind of book. And when you talk to different homeschool, like, I ask another thing, is I have a lot of friends, not a lot, but I have friends that help me, and we all talk about, what are you using? So it's so great to have the support. You need to have friends and people you can talk to, like, hey, have you used this? But it might work for one kid and not another kid. And so you get input on, like, different curriculums, and you can share, like, books. I share books with other people sometimes, and you can buy them, resell them. I mean, there's so much you can do.
And that provides you as a parent and also a teacher to provide, like, an individualized learning experience for each of your children while still teaching them what they need to know and meeting these other marks.
Exactly. Yes. You can change it too. Like, I change it throughout the whole year. What you start with is not necessarily what you, definitely not what you end with. I mean, you have this whole goal, and usually I have way too many high expectations. So I have to definitely step back and be like, all right, my kid's now working from more, like, all day long and barely gets a break. Doesn't work. If they don't get breaks, it does not work. But then again, you have to motivate them to start earlier so that they're done. But I mean, most of the kids, usually it's typical school day is what they're doing work with a break. But if you put all the hours in of what they're in school, they're not actually sitting at a desk, you know, that many hours. You don't really, so they probably sit down and do more work hours wise than maybe they do in school. So sometimes they have to be like, ooh, this is too much work. You have to really adjust it.
Now, one of the things, if I remember right, in Pennsylvania, we only need to have like 180 days of school or something like that.
Right.
Because you're homeschooling and you're with your children year round, do you also continue with their education year round? Do you do like a summer break with them? Or is it because of the nature of it, you're always just kind of learning together?
All the above, really. I mean, I try to stick with the public school mostly, but for instance, the Christmas break and New Year's and Thanksgiving and all that, I took off those days, but I didn't take off any other days. Because if it snows, you're not going to take that day off, you know? And so you get out of school a lot earlier. And my kids love that. They love that they can end before. And then you can start up if you want before, or you can start later. We usually just start right when the school starts. So then you end quicker because you don't have the snow days. And then, like, vacation, I take vacation when I want vacation, not because then you can take it when not everybody's on vacation, you know? So, and with farming, it works. Homeschooling is definitely a plus because in the winter is your time that you can actually go on vacation. You cannot really go on vacation that much in the summer. So for us, we like to go away in the winter. So then it's homeschooling makes it where you can bring your work with you. And while sometimes we'll just have days of you learn at museums or learn some other way, not necessarily books. And you can count those days too.
My wife and I were looking at taking the children to the farm show because that is an excused absence from school because it's considered an educational event. But I imagine you have a lot more opportunities like that because you don't have to arrange.
We don't do a lot of it, but you can do. There's so much you can learn, your kids, just education, but not being in a room. I can't even think of some of the things. But like, we took our kids all fishing one day when we were in Florida, and you learn about the ocean and the fish. And every week we get to go to the library, and the kids can spend whatever long, get as many books as they want out. And they read a lot. When you're homeschooled, they have a lot more time to read. And then one huge plus is when my kids have done work at the end of the day, there's no homework. So they're done. So they have this extra, like, basketball. One does ballet and choir and piano. They're not trying to rush and get their homework done because that's their freedom now. I mean, they get to do their stuff. And there's no stress of having to study for a test. They get their work done during the day.
One of the things that Wayne and I talked about quite a lot was one of the words we came back to was about balance. It sounds like that by homeschooling, it provides your family a balance because you can make these choices that, well, today's not going to be a school day because we're going to go do this.
Right.
We'll make up a school day later because we can begin when we want, end when we want. And in turn, with that balance comes a lot of freedom too. Is that your experience?
Oh, yeah, definitely. My thing is the kids don't want to start that early. I keep telling them, well, the later you start, we'll be doing schoolwork till dinner. You know, so they don't like that. They want to be done. So gets them down. Like sometimes I'll have them, like this morning, Madeline was in her PJs doing her Spanish and then she got dressed, you know. So they'll do their work in the morning, sometimes even before we had breakfast, if they really want to. I mean, it's kind of up to them. They know what they have to get done. And if they don't want to get going on it, well, they're going to be doing it for a long time. And actually, when they're sick, they still want to do their work because they have nothing else to do but sit there. So they tend to do their work, but I don't push it all on them if they don't feel good. And like we had them sick all last week. So, but I'll take one day off of them because they, you know, I don't force it, but they often want to do work because I was like, I'm just sitting here. I don't want to be making this up.
Does that then provide you an opportunity if one of your children is sick and you give them a day off that they don't really have to make it up at the end of the year because you can make up that time? An hour here, an hour there, an evening.
That's what we do. Like we went to the farm show and I actually didn't really take that as a day. But what happened is then I just took that day's work and spread it out the rest of the week. Because most of my days are more of a 4-day week, my schooling. Like Monday through Thursday is pretty intense work amount alone. I mean, it's a full day. But by Friday, I do like a half day and then we go to the library. So that's the rest of their day. I leave it open so anything they could not finish during the week gets finished on Friday. So the thing is always, well, if you don't do it now, you're going to have to do it on Friday. And so they like to be done. So that's how I use Friday is to finish up what didn't get done the rest of the week and leaves me with opportunity where, okay, that was too much. We need to finish it later.
It sounds like for anyone who's in the position to pursue their right livelihood and their interests while still having their children at home to homeschool, that it provides you a lot of flexibility to do a lot more than what I might expect with just, you know, well, I send my kids off to school and now I have the day free to do something else. It sounds like you have even more freedom from that because of, you know, when your day starts, when it ends, the way that you can flex that, that you don't have to be here or there, and that you're not running around like crazy after school to do all these after school activities.
Yes, because we can do activity. I belong to a homeschool group, then like I just yesterday was signing up for like a pottery class, for instance. And so now we can do that during the day. And there's like art classes, like at the library, there's art classes or there's a whole bunch of classes that my kids can do, but they're during the day. And it's great. You can do more because in the evening, you usually have sports and other, all those activities. So that I love. I love, love, love flexibility. But it's hard because I still, you know, every kid's different and I still struggle with, I may someday put them back in school. And then I think, no, I'll lose all my flexibility. But there's pluses because the one huge thing is it's a lot of work on me. I mean, that's all I do from the time I get up, I feed them, and then I'm helping them with work. I mean, I have four of them. It's being, what are you doing? Okay, now you're going to do this. And it's on them, and it's a tremendous amount of work for me. You have to be committed, and it's a lot of work. It is really is.
What I wanted to add, Scott, about first of all, the work that Kathy does, but also about flexibility, about balance. You and I talked earlier about my new employment arrangement, working out of the house, and how does that work and how does that fit in? And we talked about the farm and what that's going to look like versus Catherine talking about all the work that she did this year when I would be gone and she was completely on her own. One of the things that has happened already with me being at home that's really great and that we're going to try to design for in the schedule is Catherine would like to be able to go to, there's a women's Bible study that she would like to go to that happens twice a month for the morning. And then there are some evening activities that she would like to go to. She's been able to do some of those things over the last year or two, but it's been difficult because she had to make arrangements with family members to watch the kids, things of that nature. And what we've been able to calendar in now is I've blocked out some of those periods of time so that I can take a role in educating the kids, but importantly, watching the kids and giving her a break so that she can be outside the home. And you know, one of the hard things for me, too, is to make sure I try to, and I'm not always doing it well, but try to keep boundaries. Catherine is the teacher. If I'm going to help with school, it's going to be just that. I'm going to help with school. She is the educator. My role is to perhaps do part of it. But the thing I was going to say is a couple times I've gone downstairs. I have an office where I close the door and the boundary is that the kids know that dad's working when he's in his office and they shouldn't open the door. However, it's just by nature, I go downstairs to get a cup of coffee. And in passing, my oldest daughter says, "Dad, would you help me with a math problem?" And I've paused and stopped and helped her with a math problem. And that's awesome. That's really outstanding. And then, you know, the other time they're allowed to come up here is when they came up this morning and invited me to breakfast. And most days they come and I get to go eat lunch with all of them. So that's part of our, some of those things are part of our whole life and what we're working on right now as well.
With everything that we've walked through, we've covered a lot of the core questions that I had about what this was like. You know, as you say, that there is a lot of work that's involved with homeschooling. And I know that just me being home for the 4 years with my kids when they were little, that there really was, for me, nothing but raising children.
Right.
And it's, you know, my wife was working, was in the middle of her career. So it was, though, she'd get home, and it was from the time that I got up until the time that I went to bed, I was doing something. And it sounds like that you have a lot of that, too, where it's always on the run. But it still sounds like, though, that as I sit here, and it's why I like doing this live, is because I can see you. And we can talk, is that it sounds like, though, that this was the right choice for you and your family and that you would do this again. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't change it for anything. This is my choice and this is, I feel so blessed that I can do this. I mean, I do. This is just what I want to do. I love it. But you got to be a certain type of person. You know, you have to be willing to give up. I give up everything. Like, from the time I can barely get out of bed. Sometimes I'm not even out of bed and there's a kid, you know how it is. And then I just want them in bed. Like after 9, it's like, no, you have to go to bed because this is the only time I get. So I end up staying up a little bit later than I probably should. Well, not that late, but you know, I want an hour, at least 1 hour. That's all I want every day just to do. I like to crochet. I like to read. Those are the things I like to do. So those are the two things I try to do every night for an hour, something that's for me for an hour. No kids, nothing. And I exercise. That's the other thing I do too. Every day I like 30 minutes to exercise. And that's my big break too. Exercise for me is a break and a stress reliever. So that's what I do.
When I was home and my wife and I were talking about homeschooling, I was going to be the one who did it. And we realized through the conversation that neither my wife nor I were that kind of person, that we didn't have it in us to be trying to homeschool small children. And a lot of it for me was trying to find something that was something that I could step to that would be an appropriate release. And do you find that you have the opportunity then to recharge to get to the next day? It sounds like you do in that hour of personal time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just don't know any different. I mean, I've been 10 years at home. So at this point, it's hard for me to know any different. This is what I do. And it's hard for me to think of, like, well, I don't know what I would do. I know I'd find something to do. But when I had the animals here and farming too, that was a lot. That was more than I could almost handle. That was more than enough. Because by the time the end of the day, I could barely move. I was so tired. Because, I mean, I had to lift pens and move them. I mean, physically, it was so exhausting. And then it would be lift carrying buckets. I mean, I was so tired. So that was wiped out, maxed out. Like, I don't know if I would repeat that. I only did it because I knew he had to finish his job and that's what we had to do. And there was no choice. But now that he doesn't work, now I'm more excited to have animals and farm because I have help, you know? Like, that was not fun. I would never want to repeat that.
So to be completely fair and honest, farming really is the amount of work that we hear that it is from others, that it is not just a job, it's a lifestyle to be on the farm and to be, you know, the farmers who work off the farm and then come home, they really are putting in that kind of work to make it happen.
Right. I had no idea because he did it and his cousin did it. And I was like, oh, it's no big deal. We can do this. And then when I had to do it, I was like, whoa, I don't know about this. This is a lot of, it's so much work and you just do not get paid for your work. You just cannot pay yourself. David says how expensive it is. But when I started working, I'm like, I want to be paid. Like, I get zero pay for my work. You know, even as a mom, like, it's such a hard job. And the only thing I had to show is food. But that's very hard. Is if people complain, you're like, all right, you have no idea. Like, until you do it, you cannot even, you know, you have no idea.
When I was not as calm in my position and as comfortable with the things that I do, I remember sitting down to catch up with a friend of mine, and he was still, this was when I was not in the workforce, when I was raising kids from dawn till dusk. There was no relief.
Right.
Because of my wife's job and the hours that she was working and everything else, you know, you cook dinner, you wash dishes, everything else. Maybe the one kid goes to sleep one time, but you have a small child who's less than a year old, so they're not really sleeping ever.
Right. Ugh. Yeah.
I didn't sleep for 4 years, you know, and like 3 years into that process, I had a friend who just said, one of my friends was like, man, I had a bad day at work. One of my clients called and said that I didn't do something right, and it just blew my day, and this was rough and that was rough. And I was like, I haven't slept in 3 years. I've been covered in the fluids of two different human beings in three different ways. Yeah, I don't know that a lot of people know what that's like until they experience it.
Right. You can't, like, same with farming. Or you really can't. Until you do it, you have no idea. You know, just, I had no idea, and we were farming, but until you actually do it yourself, it's just, I can't even explain. And responsibility you feel, too, for the animals. I mean, even if they're just chickens, I'm sorry, but I get sad even if one little dies. Like, I know we kill, we process them ourselves. To me, that's different. Because when one died, when they weren't supposed, they didn't reach their life, what they're supposed to, I don't like that. That really bothers me. And even when they're just a day old and the chicks die, like, that bothers me. I don't think I'll ever get liking that or used to that. Like, the whole death part of animals dying, and like, I never thought I would do this. Like, the whole process of chicken, at first I thought, oh, I can't handle it. And still, it's not like I like it, but I do it. You know, that's not the nice part. I love just taking care of animals. I definitely have a mother, like the mother in me. Like, I mean, that's what I do. I take care of animals. So I love taking care of the animals part. The end part is not really my thing.
And that was something that Wayne and I also spoke to go from shepherd to harvester.
Yeah, it's just part of, I'd rather do it than have somebody else do it, is my thing. Like, I don't really like that part, but the thought of somebody else doing it, that's even gross. That's just not for me. I want to do it. And so it's important that I know, like, say the pigs go somewhere, that it's important that I know, like, what kind of facility they're getting processed at. And so that's important to me, all that stuff. I like to know. I want to know all that stuff.
Taking care of your animals and living your life this way, it sounds like it's all intentional. That all these choices that you make are very intentional choices to walk down this road and do these things. Is that a fair way to look at what you're doing? And from that comes the sense of responsibility?
Yeah, it's definitely was intentional, but I always wanted to have a farm. And I don't know if I ever dreamed that this is what I was doing. It just kind of happened. I mean, I never could have ever even possibly dreamed that this is what we would be. Like, I don't even remember. I guess I had my first kid, and I became aware of what my kid was eating more. Not, it wasn't me, it was my children. Once I had children, I all of a sudden was more aware, like, ooh, what am I feeding my child? And I wanted my children to have the best they could, is really what it came down to. And then, so I started looking into organic stuff. And then I like the garden too, but I'm like you, I'm really bad at it. So therefore, that's why I have a share at a farm. I have a huge garden, it's just horrible. If something grows, great. If not, I don't have to stress about it because animals itself are enough. I can't do both. So I've accepted that and I do it for fun. And the kids like to plant stuff, so it's totally fun. But I don't know if it was like chosen, I just kept happening, you know? We used to get meat, like we raise ourselves, we got at other farms. And so, and then we're finally like, you know what? Let's just do 10 chickens, you know, all that. So we started just, every year was different and every year will be different. I'm always like, what are we going to do this year? You know, it's just, I think this is just a path we're supposed to go down. I just feel like this is what we're supposed to be doing. You know, this is what God had his plan for us to do. So this is what we do. I feel very strongly that way. So it's hard to say.
I think we've covered everything that I wanted to in this conversation to get a snapshot of what running a small family farm is like, what living through this transition is like. Do you have any last thoughts for the listeners or any suggestions of how to go down this road if they feel so called?
Oh, just keep going. That's what I say, because I didn't really plan it out very much. I mean, we just, okay, this just seems right. Just keep going. Like, if you feel like this is what you're supposed to do, just keep going for it and keep doing it just little by little. And if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. If it's not meant to be, then it might not happen. Like, that's how I feel very strongly that way. I mean, so if we weren't meant to do this, then I don't believe it would have happened, because a lot of things had to go just the right way for it to work out. And there's still, things happen. I mean, with farming, I mean, one day I went out there and the whole chicken pen was upside down. Chickens are dead. I mean, it's just like, there's things that happen. It's so discouraging. And you think, oh dear, this is not for me. But you just keep going, you know? There's so many stories of like, oh gosh, this is not what I had planned. But things happen when it's really hot out and you worry about your animals. So it's a huge responsibility, but it's incredibly rewarding. And I wouldn't change it for anything. And I just think if that's what you feel like you should do, you just go do it. And you just find a way, get people to help, talk to people that you know. You need to talk to people and get advice and learn from their mistakes. There's so many times you'd be like, oh, I have this problem. Like, well, don't do this or do this. And without other farmers to help learn from and support, it's really impossible to do.
So you really need to build that social network?
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. Yeah, we visited a lot of farms before we started this. So we visited farms and talked to people. We didn't just start. I mean, you do just start, but you have to first have, you do have a plan of this is how many I want to raise and this is the kind of what I want to use.
Thank you, Catherine, for taking the time to sit down and talk with me. I really do appreciate it because the more and more that I do what I do, the less and less that I realize I know. And I can never speak to these questions or answer these questions because I'm not a farmer and I don't think I ever could be. So thank you for being one of America's small family farms and being willing to sit down and have this conversation and let others know what it's really like to do this.
Oh, you're welcome.
And that was Catherine Herring of Herring's Green Grass Farm. As is apparent in that conversation, I really appreciate the space that she came from in sharing what she did and allowing me to share it with you in turn about the trials and tribulations, as well as the rewards, the sacrifices and the shining stars, and from that the wealth of experience and time spent with family, with children, making a difference in the lives of everyone who's involved. And still, since I've eaten a variety of things that have come from the Herring's farm, producing some of the best meat that I've eaten. And though I'm just a consumer, that they're able to provide that food to their own children, and what can be done with a plan, some goals, and a sense of calling. May you, whatever road you're on, find what it is you seek, and those mentors, and the support structure necessary to walk down that road. I hope that, just as Catherine and Wayne found those farmers, that if there's any way that I can help you, you'll reach out to me, and I can do my best to guide you towards the resources that will help you live the life that you want to, and in turn to build a better world. So please get in touch with me. 717-827-6266 is the phone number, or send me an email, show@thepermaculturepodcast.com. You'll also find me at facebook.com/thepermaculturepodcast. Or on Twitter, where I am @permaculturecst. And as this show is listener-supported, I need your help to continue to go and sit and open a space with people in person and record more interviews. If you'll take a few minutes, go to thepermaculturepodcast.com/support, and there you'll find out how you can make an ongoing monthly or one-time contribution to the show. As I know not everyone is able or in a position to do so, leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast site. Help get the word out there. Sit and listen to your favorite show with a friend. If you're thinking about homeschooling, share this episode with Catherine, with someone. Tell them your hopes and dreams and your concerns, and find a space to make what matters to you a reality. I'll be joining you again on Friday, May 2nd, for a rather personal permabite. The title for it right now is Why? And I want to share with you why it is that this matters to me and why I do this, as well as some stories from my own life that influence many of the choices that I make. It's going to be different, a little bit more candid than normal. So if you're into those kinds of things, please listen to that episode. If you're not, then just skip it. And we'll return to something a little more directly permaculture related as I look at Holmgren's Principle 2 on Monday, May 5th. Until the next time, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other.